A couple of weeks ago on that initial lesson, we read from 2 John. And in 2 John, those first three verses, it says, "The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us forever." That's because we've been preached the message of truth and responded to that. And then he says, "Grace and mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father, from Jesus Christ the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Our struggle a lot of times is with these two words, truth and love. As we try to do what God asks us to do, we want to be obedient to the truth of God. Amen? Of course we do. That's why we read from the book. That's why we study from the Bible. While at the same time, the idea of loving one another sometimes interferes with us. That's because we're human. We lean one way or the other. I saw you out there singing over there in the Hopkins row, leaning on each other as we sang, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." We're leaning on Jesus, isn't that right, Jim? That's why we're here, leaning on each other. And I hope that that's what we do as a congregation, is learn to lean on one another. Not be a problem for each other, but learn to be encouragement for each other, to help us be able to face the world out here. Of course, the challenge is, in balancing these two, is that our tendency to be on one side or the other. And I think of the passage of Scripture in John 1, after we learn that in the beginning, of course, was the Word. You know that passage over in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We learned that Jesus, of course, is the Logos, or the Word. And then later on, down in verse 14, it says, "The Word," meaning Christ, "became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld, the King James says, "his glory, as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, only Jesus was able to accomplish this, that is, to be able to come and be a balanced individual. If you ever get a chance, go over there in the book of Psalms and read in Psalm 71 and 72 in there, and read that story about Asaph as he writes that psalm about his feet, my steps were well nigh gone. Kind of like the roller rink. Remember that illustration? We've all been to the roller rink and know that can get a person off balance in a quick hurry. And that happens when we put ourselves into those situations. The idea, of course, to preachers, as it's drilled into us, is to preach the word and to be instant in season, and to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Well, that's talking about preaching in balance. Now, sometimes we get off on these different tangents, I'll say, and it causes us to go in maybe the wrong direction, and so all we get to is maybe one on the subject. One of the things that we have are precious promises from God, and one of those great promises is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in these following verses, 9 through 14. And I want to impress on you again, as I have before, from this particular passage, that you're special when you're in Jesus Christ. You're special when you have the Spirit of God, because we're promised the Holy Spirit when we're obedient in baptism, that is, buried into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. But it isn't just that simple act. It's living a life with the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us and helping us in ways in which we very often maybe overlook in the personal sense. As it is written, verse 9 says, 1 Corinthians 9, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not even entered into the heart. Everybody looking? Into the heart of man. This up here. When we think about it, God is so vast. The more we study about Him, the more we begin to understand how great He really is. Things that have not entered into the heart of man are all that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has great things prepared for us. That's really hard sometimes to wrap our brains all around that, what God has in store for us. For to us, that's you, that's me, God revealed them through the Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, before I read any further, I want to say that God is not a respecter of persons. He's not keeping this from other people, but He's promising that those who follow Him will have a leg up, if you will, because the Spirit is in you through obedience. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? I don't know what you're thinking out there. You're grinning at me, and I hope that's a positive thing. Good. You may be thinking something else. Don't tell me if it is, okay? Well, let me draw my conclusion from your expression. Nobody can know what someone else is thinking. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Isn't it amazing how many people seem to be and want to be an expert about God when they don't even consider or maybe take into consideration what the Scripture has to say, or maybe sort of fly in the face of what Scripture says by saying the wrong things or practicing the wrong things? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak, says Paul. That's why we came. Not in words taught by human wisdom. If you go back to the beginning of this chapter, he'll start out by saying, I didn't come to you with all these fancy words. I came to you in the Spirit of God. But in those that are taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man, that is a man who doesn't have that Spirit, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Now, if you have another version, it'll say understood. The old King James used to use the word discern. And it's not just the idea of knowing what the word means, but it's understanding all of the things that go in to the thought that is behind whatever it is that God teaches us. Well, I just want to reaffirm to you that spirituality, this spirit that comes to us, is a quality. It's a real quality. It's something that other people recognize, even though they may not know what it is about you. But they see in you something that is different from the rest of the world. When you react in a godly way, in a situation where maybe other people might go off the handle, so to speak, people see that and they understand it. I want you to see that the balanced life, living the balanced life, is a gift that comes from God because He gives us a spirit to help us balance the scale out. Truth and love, grace and faith. And we would all be kidding ourselves if we don't say we don't struggle with those concepts from time to time. They're to be blended together. And we don't want to be too far on one side or too far on the other. We want to put them in the right shape. Now, this past week, we've been blessed with so many of you that have brought the meals to our house, and because Rosemary has had some surgery and not been able to cook. But she's getting better, and she's going to be there again one day. Praise the Lord. So she doesn't have to put up with Bob's cooking. And we got a little note in the mail here a day or two ago that said, here's something to help cook Bob. It was some money. Because they know how I cook, Elizabeth. That's the way I cook. I say, where am I going? You know, what is it you want? That's the way I cook. Now, I can cook bologna. Can I get an amen there? I mean, I can throw together a bologna sandwich, but don't be expecting me to make, you know, stroganoff or any of this kind of stuff. I might get to grill a steak every once in a while, Leon, but, you know, can't always do that every day. Nonetheless, you ladies know how to put together a recipe. If you didn't know how to do that, whatever it is you're making is not going to come out. Am I right about that? Well, you want it to come out right because you don't want it to be the wrong thing or don't taste right. And you don't want your life to be that way either, do you? You want your life to be balanced, to be a life that, well, you can understand what's going on. Spirituality is this interpreting power that gives those who possess it an ability religiously that the non-religious person doesn't have. Mark Twain, I don't know if you know it. You know, Mark Twain delivered a lecture one time on the first watermelon he ever stole. Have you ever read that? Go look it up. You can find it right. You can Google that and go read that. You'll get a kick out of that. The first watermelon. I'm wondering why anybody would want to listen to a lecture on the first watermelon I ever saw. Until I read the story, well, I have a different perspective on that. What do I mean by that? Well, Mark Twain said a lot of things, but he was having a conversation one time with a friend, and the friend said to him that, I'm worried about all of the things that I don't understand in the Bible. And Mark Twain responded by saying, what worries me is the part of the Bible I do understand. Well, he was just making a recognition that he was able to read things and he could find things that he needed to improve upon. James 4, verse 17 is a simple verse. For him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what it says. And we all understand that. I know we do, because you live a life out here in the world. You're able to discern, appraise, or make a judgment about those things so that you can do something spiritually. In Acts 17, if you're reading there and you're finding some of these journeys that Paul is on, you'll find that there was a group of people in Berea, and the scripture says they were more noble than those that were at Thessalonica. Why? Well, because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were true or not. This was the idea of balancing out what needed to be done. Now let me ask you this. Should we assume that all Christians are spiritual? Well, we would say yes, if they're truly following the Lord. If that's the case, why is it that we can have so many prodigals? That is, why is it that we know several in our community that once were here and now are not? For whatever reasons. Why is that? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is the way Jesus put it, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. We know that that's coupled together with a balanced life. There's a failure very often to discern or to appraise or to make the judgment. That's our struggle in the love and truth relationship. Some are much more driven by the letter of the law. One of the things that Jesus does when he comes to this earth was that he taught openly, and of course was criticized, that the keeping of the spirit of the law was really the important thing, more so than the letter of the law. I won't go to John 8 and 11 and tell you all the story about the woman that was in adultery, but if you go over there and read that, you'll find that the administrators of the verbal law are supposed to have the obligation to be the example of the spiritual law. What is the spirit of it? Well, that's when truth and love have to be balanced, that we have to learn to do that. That's one of our challenges in living that life. God first, that's the attitude of a spiritual life. Many fail to understand it. Some develop a spirit that's like, well, what's in it for me? It's the bargaining kind of spirit. If I do this, do I get that? Brethren, it should never come down to that. There's not supposed to be a checklist of what we do. There's only one way you get to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's through faith in him. That's the balance. God's grace who sent it, our faith in response to be obedient to it. I'm not supposed to be able, and in fact, I readily admit to you that I'm not always able to understand everything the Bible tells me. I have difficulty getting this little pea brain wrapped around all of that. I'm doing my best to do that. All I have to do really is believe it because God says it and obey it. I'm not always able to give the right explanation, maybe, and yet I know that what I'm supposed to do is to be responsive to it. I don't want to cultivate a spirit that's a bargaining kind of spirit that has me thinking or saying what's in it for me. Instead, I want to put God first in my life, and I want him to understand that I'm here to serve him. Peter's writing in the epistle, his first epistle, chapter 3. And he tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you of the reason of hope that is in you. That's really the thrust of what I'm trying to say today. Is anybody asking you about the hope that's in you? Are they looking at you and realizing that you have something they don't possess? That you have a peace that passes all understanding, and that you recognize that you should follow that? Responsibility. All of us have a responsibility to know the Word. That's what he's telling us. He's trying to help us. That's what he's telling us in 3 and 15. Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing, not being ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, are we doing that? Are we building our faith? Which, of course, is the saving element. Romans 10, verse 7, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into the grace wherein we stand. That's Romans 5, 1 and 2. Influencing others. Being able to get others to recognize it. I don't know if you know, I'm sure you understand this. You'll understand it when I say it. But your children really never are going to do better than what they're taught to do. If they're not taught, they're going to do whatever they want to do. If they are taught, be sure that what you're teaching them is the right thing to do. That's the reason God has children in your family, is for you to help them to know the way. We can do that in a number of ways. We can do that by being an example for them. We can do that by letting them know that what I'm saying matches with what I'm doing. Faith in Christ. Children are like their parents, so don't expect them to do better than what you do unless there's an effort made to teach them to do better. In most cases, when they're not taught, they generally do worse. When you read in the Old Testament, you'll find that many of the Old Testament kings, that their children were worse than they were because the king was always busy doing something else. Now, brethren, I don't know if I can say this without trying. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm telling you that unless we recognize the importance of teaching God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit to our children, the likelihood is they won't get it. That's the likelihood. They're not going to get it unless we teach them. They're going to look for it. They may look for it in other ways. They may look for it from other kind of teachers. But as you well know, there's a lot of those teachers that are out there teaching other things. Things that would not be compatible with what the Scripture says. I hope you'll be encouraged by that. That's the balanced life. We don't want to be like some of those churches that were listed in the book of Revelation. We want to be more like the idea of living in Jesus. Putting God first, that's the balanced spiritual life. Knowing the message of God, building our faith, and influencing not only our children, but the people around us. That's the balanced life. That's the spiritual goal. And we have an interpreting power that the others don't have. And that is by the Spirit of God. That's what we read. That's not Bob saying it. That's the Word of God saying it. I hope you'll have a balanced life. I hope that whenever your life is broken, whenever there are things that cause you to be confused, when it seems like you're losing your way, when your life is hurting, when there's anxiousness, when you feel ashamed, maybe filled with guilt, maybe there's anger, maybe confusion. And I know that lots of time there's just nothing but loneliness. That's difficult. Remember this. That's why we have each other and why we all lean on Jesus Christ. Amen? If you're here today, we can encourage you to live that life, the balanced life. We invite you to come while we stand, while we sing. Come get us, Chris.